before I sing the song, I have a testimony from camp. Going to camp, I was going through a lot of battles, and in my heart, I was like, Lord, can you just speak to me? Speak to me at this camp about my battles. May you just win these battles for me. And I can say he's won these battles for me. He set me free, and he speak to every minister that was preaching has just said the right things for me, and I just thank God for just speak to me and just giving me the victory in my battles. Now, there's this one verse that Brother Andrew Glover said, and I just want to read it to you. It's from Revelation chapter 15, verse 2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. So that verse stuck to me after camp, and this song was in my heart for a while after camp too. So hope you guys just be blessed by it and just join me.
Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. If God be for you, who can be against you? Amen, amen. Thank you tonight, musicians. All right, we already had testimony. Who's next? Come on, you know you're just burst into seams. Yeah, just anything at all. There's nobody here but us. We didn't get to go, so. The grass is greener. Yeah. Were you coming up? Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, right there.
Hold it. I'm more comfortable if I hold it. Okay.
That'll work.
Okay. Hello. If you can't tell from my voice, I had a great time because I'm all raspy. But it was such a blessing. I don't even like know where to start. But if you haven't heard about this camp, it's like a week long, and there's like 11 church services. And so it's rough, but it is so good. And it's like there was a level of sincerity at this camp that has not been there in previous years. And it was so wonderful just to see everyone worshiping and praying and breaking through and, you know, fighting and then getting the victory. And it was such a wonderful experience to be together again. And just the Lord moved so strong, just like so strong in every service. I mean, some of those altar, like after services would last way past midnight, and they would have to like send everybody else to bed. And it was a wonderful time. And even for me, like, you know, I have the Holy Ghost, I've been delivered, like, but seeing everybody else get those things was such a blessing. And I've talked to so many people, even my friends, just like, I got the Holy Ghost, like all throughout the week. I got it tonight. I got it yesterday. I got it. And it was just so wonderful. Just dozens. Like, it was crazy. And every service was just what we needed to hear. And I remember like one specific thing I had been praying about a situation for a couple of weeks before camp. And I was kind of, you know, getting a little impatient. And the Lord even gave me a scripture. He's like, in Psalms, truly my soul waits silently for God. I'm like, okay, I will chill out. I didn't chill out, but I tried. and then Brother Daryl Ward preached Sunday night, and he preached this sermon about breaking down the barriers of doubt. And he talked about how, you know, you can believe God can do something, but it's completely different to believe that he will do it for you. And I realized that the devil had been telling me like, oh yeah, God can answer your question, but he probably won't. Like he just probably won't. And then I was like, okay. And once I realized that, I could hold on to, you know, I found that scripture in Jeremiah 33:3, I think. And it just says, call on me and I will answer you. I'm like, okay. Okay. And then a few nights later after church, the answer just like dropped in my heart, and I was so thankful. But everything that was preached was just so perfect, and it was such a blessing, and it was just great. So that's all I have to say.
Thanks the Lord.
man, I don't even know what to say now. Well, I will say that I was definitely worried because it was a week-long. I've never been to a week-long camp before. And I was thinking, like, all these other camps I've been to, they were like 3 days, 4 days, and I was dead tired at the end of them. So, man, it's gonna mess me up for a week. Man, but no, not at all. It was amazing. Just seeing the Holy Spirit move in every service, just touching everyone. It was really amazing. I did have I was praying to God earlier in the week, and He answered all my prayers. That's all I got to say, man.
Praise
it was definitely, it was amazing. That's all I could say.
Says a lot.
Yeah, there's nothing much to say other than that. And then just how much I love God, and man.
Amen.
How He just touched me, touched everyone else, and gave us a nice refilling. And
praise the Lord.
But it was a nice, restful vacation. Not at all. Not at all. Stumbling back to the dorm at like 1 a.m. after just being at the altar all night was just sincerely, truly amazing. And I'd probably never have anything else like that. But we're gonna strive for that every other day now.
Praise the Lord.
We're going to strive for that every day. Get closer to God and just so thankful. But if you haven't been, just saying, you should go. It's pretty great. Thank you.
So this year was my first year going, and it was a wonderful experience, to say the least. I remember one of the preachers, I can't remember, I think it was Brother Andrew, he said, like, to take your fire with you back to your home church. And that's what I want to do. I had, like, the Spirit on me. I was like, he said, the devil was just saying, hey, you don't have the Holy Ghost. And I went to that camp, and now I can say I have the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. I like that. You pick the next one. Yeah. Yeah.
God bless you, brothers and sisters. The brother is right. I am bursting at the seams. I'm like, the Lord did do these amazing things this last past week. It was very wonderful. I went there. I didn't, you know, I had three very big questions on my heart, and the Lord answered every single one of them. And He gave me such a peace about them, and, you know, I have a more solid relationship with Him, and I'm just so thankful that He cares enough about me. To make Himself so real every time. And He's just so wonderful, and I love Him so much.
Praise the Lord.
And I'm very thankful for you all here, and I just wanted to tell you all of that.
Thank you. She didn't pick somebody else. Anybody else?
The last three are outside.
Okay, so we'll have I demand a rerun. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So what were the questions? When's the rapture? See what happens when you go and get away with God for a little bit, and prayers go forth for you, ministers do their part, young people do their part, they get out of their element. That's why it's so important to get out of our element sometimes. And, you know, people say, well, why do you got to go to camp? And I hate that when I hear that, you know. Pastors saying that. Well, why do our kids have to go to Louisiana? Well, because it's not happening here, so. It isn't about you. It's about them. I don't care if they have to go to the North Pole. As long as they get to meet with God.
And I trust that they won't have to go to the North Pole, but I know a good place out there, Uttermost Tabernacle, so praise the Lord. Wonderful. And Sister Hannah, I'm with you 100%. It just blesses my heart to see others get a hold of God, and just that does more for me than anything. You know, we all want the Lord to speak to us and touch us and move in our hearts, but to see Him move in the life of somebody that hasn't had contact with Him before, it's a life-changing thing. It's something you can't talk somebody into, talk them out of. It's not something you can produce on your own, make happen. It's just them and God. And when you see that happen, you can look at one another with a knowing eye. Yeah, I know what you, I know. Maybe you'll have different words to describe what happened to you than me. And maybe, the circumstances were different. But the thing is, you know you've met with Him. And God wants that for all of His children. Praise the Lord. If you wouldn't mind standing tonight, I'd like to continue on with the thought, all things are become new. I'll try not to take too much time here tonight since we've appreciate the specials. And very much appreciate the testimonies. And you know something happened when young people get up and testify. They don't want to be up here. These guys are like, wait till you go to camp. You'll have a testimony. Amen. I'm happy for you, parents. Very happy for you. Because I know that's your heart's desire. All things are become new. Revelation 3 and 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, the beginning of the new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, when that happens, your school buddies that you hung around with in school, they'll want the old one back. And they'll be frustrated. Where's the old Doug? Go to the graveyard. I don't know. He's dead. Oh, we want the old Doug back. He was fun. Well, the new Doug is much more fun. In fact, I'm having real fun for the first time in my life. Amen. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Amen. May the Lord add His blessing in the reading of the Word. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, as we stand before You, first of all, we just want to give You a great big thanks, Lord, for what You've done for our young people, what You're doing for our young people, Lord, and for giving them a testimony, giving them an experience or more experiences, opportunities to spend more time with You, to just get soaked into that atmosphere and to be seated in heavenly places, to hear Your word, to know that it's coming from You, to have questions and to receive answers and know that it came from You. We just appreciate that so much, Lord. And we believe that this isn't the end of something or something that they'll have to wait for another year for a repeat, but we believe that it's a continuation. And we believe that they'll continue on from faith to faith and glory to glory and experience to experience and glory to glory. And we just, Lord, just ask that You continue to encourage and stir their hearts, Lord, for if You were to tarry, and we don't know how much longer we're living, as if You could come at any moment, and we are in expectation that you'll soon come. We don't know what soon means, but we're in expectation. But Lord, if for some reason you don't come for another 10 years or 20 years, whatever, they're carrying the light from here. They're the next generation, and this life is continuing on. The life that is in the vine is continuing on in the branches. And so we thank You for that, Lord. Now, Father, we just ask that You'd help us as we set aside our thoughts and cares and worries and frets. And Lord, just help us to feed upon your word tonight. To Lord, if we have questions, may we ask them in our hearts with the expectation that you'll speak to us as you always do. And we surely will give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. So we need to recognize in this hour and make our focus on the fact that we are of a new creation. When I was younger and raised in church, we used those terms, but it was like, yeah, well, kind of in a way, you know, but you're still just, you know, kind of a no good something or other that, you know, that just need God's mercy. Well, we do need his mercy, but there didn't really seem to be much of a change other than you wanted to do right, you wanted to live right, you wanted to please God. But if you aren't born again of the Spirit, you're not of the new creation yet. So just because someone isn't born of the Spirit doesn't mean they're not of the new creation. They just haven't come to that that new birth yet. And it is our, it's been our ministry from day one, and we trust that it will be until the Lord comes to emphasize that you must be born again. And that you must hear from him yourself, that there's, God doesn't have any grandchildren, and that this isn't us rallying around talking about other people's experiences, but it's us finding God. Sure, we share our own experiences, but that's just to encourage others that you can have that too. So we need to recognize in this hour that we are of the new creation. And if you are of a new creation, then old things have passed away. And, which means that your old nature has passed away. The nature that was down in your soul that you came into this earth with. And if you find that old sin nature is still alive, well, you better die to it and become a new creation. This gospel is not a patch-up. It's not a makeup job. It's not a workover. It's not a reformation. But it's coming forth from the new creation in Christ Jesus. The old creation of our earthly home that we are surrounded with, as we were touching on this morning, is vile. There are no good old creations. It's vile. It's corrupting as we speak. Your bodies, there's not a body in this building tonight that isn't dying. You say, well, when did I start dying? When you were born. You've got a certain amount of time, and you've got an appointed time, and science can't stop it. You can't stop it. It's corruption has set in because of sin, because of the original sin in the garden. And these bodies that we're walking in and living in and breathing in right now are headed for destruction. But we're not giving them over to destruction. We're going to use them for the service of the Lord while we're here. And we'll drag them to a body change if we have to. But this isn't the end of the story. And this part is, it's a work in progress. This is the last part. You know, to the human mind, the way we would do things, if we were the creator, if we were in charge of things, you know, we'd fix up the outside first, right? And while the inside's still full of old dry bones, so to speak, right? I had a 66 Chevelle Super Sport. It had a 396 big block Chevy engine in it. They'd only been making that for a couple of years. 65 was the first year of the big block, and so it has a longer stroke than the small blocks that they were making before then. I'm sure this means a lot to some of you, but some of you it does. But this was a special high-performance engine. It was made for... it had more horsepower than it did, than it had cubic inches. So anytime you get, like, let's say, so it had 425 horsepower and it had 396 cubic inches. So that's quite an achievement to when you get more than one horsepower per cubic inch, of course. And that was back then. Of course, now with superchargers, and I'm using lots of other terminology that I'm tuning you all out, but, with forced air and electronic ignitions and whatever, it's easier to get that. But this was in 1966, and those cars were dangerous, you know. Things were breaking all the time because it was just, you know, so much power You know, what were they thinking? You know, hey, give this to your teenager. You know? Yeah. I started working as a dishwasher when I was 16 in a restaurant business because it's the job that I could find. And while I was going to high school, and I started at, I think it was $1.94 an hour, or maybe I even started something lower than that, but that number sticks in my mind. And I remember my first paycheck, I think it was $140, you know, it was after working for 2 weeks. And I went to the bank and got it all in $1 bills. And I held it up, I'm rich, you know. And I think I did something crazy. I think I took a 5 or a 10 spot and put it on the surface and pulled out this roll, you know. You sure find out who your friends are when it's gone. Yeah. Anyway, I had this car with too much horsepower, and it was parked out in a farmer's field. The guy that owned it bought it when it was new, and I think he went to Vietnam, came back, whatever. Got a bunch of tickets, and it ended up parked out in the field, and it had some issues, and I wanted that car, and I think I paid him $400 for it, anyway, I only had it for a few weeks, a month, number 8 cylinder, the piston in the number 8 cylinder went through the block. And so that's a major problem. It's a major rebuild. So not only do you need to rebuild the engine, but you have to, if you're fortunate, you can have that sleeve and that cylinder replaced. And then, of course, the crankshaft is mangled up, and so you need a new crankshaft and a whole bunch of parts. And so, you know, 16 years old, dishwasher wages, that's where my money went, you know, in the car. And so I drove that thing around, and it was painted primer gray, and everybody made fun of it, you know, and it looked so ugly and whatever, and yet nobody could beat me in a race, you know. It was what we call a sleeper. Yeah, it ain't nothing on the outside, but so to me, you know, I wanted the nice paint job, but what good is a nice paint job if the motor doesn't work, right? And it seems like my father had the same idea. He starts on the inside. The inside, the mechanics, the machinery on the inside, the soul of man, he converts that first. And he works from the inside out. So you can say I'm of the new creation, and people say, but you've got the same old primer gray paint job, and Bondo everywhere, and, you know, ugly is all get out, and your mother has to feed you with a slingshot, and, you know. But you claim I'm of the new creation, right? I'm something that doesn't exist. Everybody else looks at you. Well, you still look like a human being to me. You don't look any different than anybody else I've ever seen, except you're maybe a little uglier or whatever. But you know that there's a change that's taken place on the inside, and it's a process. You're actually in the process of a rapture. There's a portion of you that has passed from death unto life. There's a portion inside of you that's been born from above, and that portion of you can never die. That portion of you will be raptured. That portion of you is part of the Word, is part of God's thinking, was in His thinking, was chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. And that's the part of you that's waking up, and that's the part of you that's responding to God, and that's the part of you that's hearing from God, and that's the part of you that's believing. That part of you that's been born again, you believe. You believe every bit of the Word. Your mind can't figure everything out, and your mind doesn't understand everything, and your mind will be tempted with fear and anxiety and frustration and all these things, but down in the soul, there's something that's been changed, and it's not part of the first creation, but it's part of the new creation. And so you need to begin to look at yourself that way as part of the new creation, and you need to forget about the nature of your first birth that died out when you were born again. That first nature is judged, it's condemned, and it's no longer a part of you. You are no longer guilty of it. it's been found guilty. So we need to quit identifying ourselves with our first birth because it's been separated from you. And the price has been paid. And we need to focus on the new creation. So your focus now needs to be on the new creation, which is who you really are in Christ Jesus. We are absolutely convinced that the old man is guilty and that the old man must die. There's no argument there. We've never argued against that. He's guilty. He was born in sin. But now let's move on. Now that we have fully established that fact, let's move on. Let's go beyond baptisms and this and that, and let's grow up in Christ. Let's focus on the inward man, the new man. And let's focus on the inward man and the new man or the new woman in our brothers and sisters. In the Smyrnian church age, Brother Ram says, God came down out of a blood cell, not through a man, but by the Holy Ghost. And in that virgin womb, a tabernacle for the purpose of death was built. Now, that sounds strange, doesn't it? That God built a tabernacle to die in. That tabernacle for the purpose of death was built. The seed of the woman came in order that he might be bruised to bring us our salvation. Remember, he'll bruise the head of the serpent, but the serpent will bruise his heel. When the Holy Ghost came upon Mary, he created within her womb the cell that would multiply and become the body of the Lord. That cell was created. It was the beginning of the creation of God. That is who Jesus is. And the Holy One was filled with holy blood. Oh, sure, it was human, but it was the very life of God flowing through that. Even the blood of God, that tabernacle came to birth. He grew to be a man. He went to the Jordan, and there that sacrifice was washed of John in the river called Jordan. When the acceptable sacrifice rose out of the water, God came in and dwelt in him, filling him with the Spirit without measure. And when he died and shed his blood, the perfect life of God was liberated to come back again, to come back upon the sinner who would accept Christ as his Savior. Revelation chapter 3:14, we read this morning. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And of course, we read it here just a few minutes ago. So he's the beginning of the creation of God in a few senses. Because actually, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And then later on, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is the Logos of God. So God created a theophany body for himself. He created the Logos, and then he poured his thoughts, his thinking, into the Logos, and that became the Son of God. But it's God in another form. That was the beginning of the creation of God. That was God creating himself into his own creation so that he could then create. So the first thing he created was himself into his own creation. Because remember, God's a spirit. You can't touch him, feel him, contact him. He's not an object. He's not. You'll never see him at any time. Right? So he created a tabernacle to reveal himself through, to speak through, to bring all things into, to create all things that were created. They were created by him and for him. But it's God condescending in another form, God creating himself into his own creation. But then he's of the new creation in the sense that he's the first of this God race, the first of this new creation that was not born in sin and stayed with the Word of God and didn't listen to the lie of the devil. So the revelation that God is bringing to you and I in this age is that Jesus Christ is the beginning of the creation of God, who is the beginning of the new creation. And we know that if there's a beginning, that there has to be an ending and a something in between as well. So Paul says he's the firstborn among many brethren, right? So there are others that are the continuation of this new creation. So how did that happen? Well, God came down in a blood cell. God literally created a blood cell, wrapped himself in it, hid himself in it. Isn't that amazing? To me, it's just, I mean, only God could do that. Only the greatest, the great I am. There's no one greater than him. Only the great one could wrap himself in a blood cell and hide himself in it and be overlooked by his own creation because it was too humble, and trust himself into the hands of sinful man. So God became one of us. He came in the likeness of us. He wrapped himself in a blood cell as the seed of the woman that he promised that he would do 4,000 years prior. And this fulfills that ancient prophecy from the days of Eden. And God steps out of eternity into time and creates a blood cell and clothes himself in this blood cell in order to become one of us. Now, he couldn't become, he couldn't come as part of the old creation because the old creation was fallen. Are you with me? None of the prophets could fulfill the part of the kinsman redeemer because they were born of the old creation. And every man born of a woman is born in sin, right? As part of the old creation. So the old creation needed a redeemer. The prophets needed a redeemer themselves. You and I, we needed a redeemer to come that could take away the sins of the world and make a way back for those who were whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. He only came to seek and to save that which was lost. He died offering himself for all, but he knew who would come and who wouldn't. And he's not willing that any should perish, so he's offered life to whosoever will. But he came to give his life for his children. Before the world was formed, he knew that you were coming. He knew you'd be at that week-long camp meeting. And he was looking forward to it. Hallelujah. So you came into this world and you were born into a life of death because Adam sold each and every one of us. He sold the whole human race out. And so God came to take you out of the old creation and to birth you into a new creation. Isn't that wonderful? So that means that you got, when you were birthed from above by the second birth, born again, you got the birth that you would have gotten if there had not have been a fall. Now, you just suck on that one for a while. That's powerful. When you think about it, you think, oh man, what would it have been like to be here on the earth without sin? What would it have been like? Well, you're actually in a better condition than Adam was. Because Adam was of the old creation, you're of the new creation. Adam could fall, and Adam did fall. But if you've been born of the new creation, oh, friends. If you've been born of the new creation, you cannot perish. You cannot deny the word. You are part of the word. You will stay with that word, and you will return to the word, and you will fulfill what you've been placed here for in spite of your humanness. But we got to overlook this part that's not converted, that hasn't been changed yet. It's got a change coming. It's still part of the old creation. So when you're birthed into the new creation, the first thing that you recognize is that God is your Father. Just as Adam knew that God was his father, so do you. Just as he knew he was talking to God, so do you. Just as he had questions for God, so do you. Just as God answered him, so does he answer you. Your amnesia begins to lift as he begins to tell you who you are, what you're placed here for, what you're to fulfill. Now your mind, your human mind, doesn't witness to who you are. Your human mind is actually kind of watching things take place in this body. Sure. Your human mind is. There's something down in your soul that says, but I know. I know. And God spoke to me, and I know. And the mind's like, well, you better be careful. And how do you know that? And, you know, how do you know you aren't just hearing voices in your head? And on and on and on and on. But your soul can't convince your mind of what's taking place. And your mind can't tell your soul you're full of baloney. Right? Your soul knows that it knows that it knows. Your soul knows that you pass from death unto life, that you are part of the new creation. And this is the part of you that I want to speak to tonight. And this is the part of you that we need to focus on, that we need to build up, that needs to be edified, that needs to be strengthened. And the other part needs to be put on a muzzle. Starved out if you have to. That's where fasting comes in. I've never had a fast, friends. Never. I've never had a fast where I didn't feel just a little bit more spiritual. And the reason why is because the flesh didn't have the upper hand. So your mind, don't wait for your mind to accept that you're of the new creation, but your spirit bears witness to who you are and to who your father is, and that you are a son or daughter of God. You were birthed, actually, if you can receive it, you were birthed by the spoken word. The seed was already in there, but you were quickened by the spoken word. And we know this because the second Adam was created by the spoken word. And not by sexual desire. There was not an egg waiting in Mary's womb that God then decided to inject himself in. That's not the picture. God created an egg and the germ. He created everything. None of it. Otherwise, it's part of the old creation. How can you get something good out of something bad? How can salt water and fresh water come from the same source? They can't. It's either salty or it's fresh. You're either of the old creation or you're of the new. So this had to be something that was part of another creation. So it couldn't be part of, it didn't come out of a lab. Science didn't do it. And it wasn't, the instrumentality of man. But God created the seed. God created the egg. God created the blood cell, if you will. And placed it in this womb. And it came by the spoken word. You say, how could that be? The prophet spoke him into existence. A virgin shall conceive. Mary, you've been, you're blessed and highly favored. You've been anointed. You're going to receive the Holy One in your womb. Be it unto me according to thy word. Egg, germ, science kit, according to thy word. What took place in her was according to the word of God. And that word had been spoken hundreds of years prior. And that word just, you know, God's word is waiting for the right time and the right season. And his spirit moves upon his word at the right time and the right season. That word circulated and circulated. And people were saying, well, maybe I'm that one. And maybe I'm this one. Or maybe I'm that one. And there was a bunch of women going around. I wonder, you know, am I going to be the one to bring forth the Holy One? Because that prophecy had to come forth. But one day, it became flesh. And it was so, God is so amazing because it was so normal that who would believe it? I mean, here's a 14-year-old nobody girl, right? And she comes and she tells you, you know, I was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And I'm good. I'm carrying God around in my womb. An angel came to me. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Told me that I'm blessed and highly favored. That I'm going to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to bring forth that Holy One. Call His name Jesus. Yeah, okay, all right. You look the same to me. Still primer gray and rust spots everywhere. And still part of the old creation. But it was a new creation coming forth from the old creation. But it was not part of the old creation. So when you're birthed of the new creation, the first thing you recognize is God is your Father. And you recognize who and what you are. And you're coming forth by the spoken word. That's why we place the word of God above everything. God spoke and it happened. End of story. Now, there's prophecy concerning you too. Amen. And the scripture says that you'll come forth also. Amen. And there's prophecy concerning this day and this age about overcomers. Amen. And what they're going to do. Amen. So in the first place, no one would have come by sexual desire. If there wasn't this new creation, all of us would have come by sexual desire. But there was a fall. Now there's no way. There's no way for us to be what God called us to be. There's no way for us to have life, because we are the life that we have is a life of death. We were all sold out by the deeds of one man. And before we get upset with that one man and that one woman, we would have done the same thing. And God knew that. And God knew that it allowed for all of His great attributes to be expressed, and that He would still have His way in the end. It didn't mess up His plan at all, but it allowed man to come to know God in ways that we would never know Him as a Savior. We would never know Him as a Father. We would never know Him as a Deliverer, as a Healer, as a Guide, a Comforter, a Friend. We would never be able to say, boy, I've got peace and it really means something to me. If all of this other stuff didn't happen. But since all of that happened, we get to know God in a way that we never would. The angels never will. And we will know Him throughout eternity in ways that others won't. So now here comes the one that is of the new creation. Recall that His revelation of His supreme deity to us in this last day is that He is of the new creation. And when the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, the cell that was created in her womb that would multiply and become the body of our Lord Jesus, that cell was a created cell. But it wasn't the old creation, it was the new creation. Remember, he finished the old creation and then he rested. Now he came out of his rest, right, to do a work. And part of that was to bring forth a new creation. So it's the beginning of the creation of God. That tabernacle that we call Jesus grew to become an adult man, ate on natural things just as you and I do, and He was in all ways like a man, except He wasn't part of the first creation. He was without sin. He was without original sin, but He could be tempted in all ways. He was filled with the Spirit without measure at the River Jordan. I've had people leave the church over that. Me saying that. Well, how could He, being God, receive the Spirit at the River Jordan? Well, what happened then? When the Spirit descended upon Him like a dove. And a voice spoke. You explain to me what took place. The thing is, He was in all ways a man.
Sure.
But of the new creation, without sin, and then the attribute of the fullness of God, which He is, was made manifest and the Spirit of God united. And if you've seen him, you've seen the Father. The attribute that was lived out, the attribute of the fullness of God. There's a portion of God that's being displayed in your life. But he was the attribute of the fullness of God. So in all ways, if you saw him, you saw God. You saw how God would act at school. You saw how God would act on the job site. You saw how, you know, he went to the synagogue as it, on the Sabbath as it was his custom. You saw how he dealt with humankind, how he dealt with the law. Right. You saw God. Right. God displaying himself amongst us, becoming one of us. So that cell was a created cell. That tabernacle grew. He was filled with the Spirit without measure at the River Jordan. And then he was tested and tempted immediately afterwards. And then he had a 3.5-year ministry. And in the end of that ministry, he performed what he came to do, which was to pay your debt. And that is a tremendous and absolutely necessary thing that he did for you and I. But that's not all that he did for us. And if we just stop there, well, it's a wonderful thing. We'll be given life at the great white throne judgment, and we'll be given white robes. But he did a whole lot more than that. He also sent his very perfect life back on the sinner that was saved by the sacrifice, quickened that gene seed that was down on the inside, and then made you a tabernacle, another tabernacle of the new creation. Again, from the message, why it had to be a shepherd. Now, people stumble with this, church people, and they look at you, oh, you know, why do you say stuff like that? You know, you're delusional, and why do you use words like that? Because that's what he said, and because that's what he did, and because that's what he's doing. And if I can't explain it to you with my mind, what does that matter? This is not my mind. I'm going to lose my... You could argue that I already have lost my mind, but I'm sure looking forward to it. You can lose your mind and still go in the rapture. So your mind... In fact, you will lose your mind. All of us will. When your spirit departs from your body. So he also sent his very perfect life back for you and I, that once dwelt in that body, now to dwell in a many-membered body. Again, and why it had to be shepherds, he said, he had started a new creation. What was it? A creation of himself. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Bible said in the beginning of the creation of God, now let me just stop there for a moment. The reason why the Spirit had to come at 30 and came in him without measure is that he also had to be a man. Because it was a man that fell, and it had to be a man that redeemed us. But he was a God-man. He started a new creation. What was it? A creation of himself. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Bible said in the beginning of the creation of God, God was created in human form in Jesus Christ, his Son. God dwelt. He built his tabernacle of flesh and bones and lived in that tabernacle, God Emmanuel, God with us. He built himself a house to live in it so that he could reflect his word to his subjects through that. You know what God is when you see Christ. So when you've seen him, you've seen the reflection of the very nature of God. Again, in the seven church ages, he says, now watch. When Jesus was standing with his hands out, here's a little thing I don't want to leave out to you. Hear it. Watch him. He's standing in the midst. That's the middle of the seven golden candlesticks. Now, if I was standing here and the candlesticks arched around, and here on my one hand is where I got it out, and here is another one in the sign of a cross, because it's through the cross that brought the church. Here he is standing, and a rainbow is over his head as a covenant. I've made my covenant with the church through Abraham, through his seed, all that is called. So this creation that we are standing in today is going to be every bit burnt. Okay, it got a little head start. But it's going to, eventually, this won't exist any longer. Right? In the meantime, we'll make the best use of it as we can, and we'll thank the Lord for it. But there's nothing permanent about it. Every bit of this creation as we know it is going to burn, all except for the particles of dust that are going to unite with your theophany to make your glorified condition. We understand that there's elements of this earth. Your body was laying here in the earth when God made the earth. There's elements in this earth that would make up your body, and there are certain elements that are going to unite with your theophany, and that will be your glorified condition. The old creation is judged, the old creation is condemned, and the old creation will be destroyed. It's not a patch-up job, and God's not covering anything up. It will pass away as a vapor. All of your dreams, all of your plans concerning this old creation will also pass away. And this isn't thousands of years away that it's going to pass away, but it could take place at any moment. And we can see into the future tonight, and we can tell that there are horrible plagues that are coming. And men and women are going to die. Unspeakable things are coming. As Satan eventually becomes incarnate in an earthly body. This is coming. But there are those that are going to escape all of this. We're not being painted for death, but we're being arrayed for eternity. Again, from Laodicean church age. But now he is standing in the midst of the church, and as he stands there revealing who he is in this last age, he calls himself the author of the creation of God. This is another creation. This has to do with the church. This is a special designation of himself. He is the creator of that church. The heavenly bridegroom created his own bride. And Satan created his Frankenstein bride. The heavenly bridegroom created his own bride. As the Spirit of God, he came down and created in the Virgin Mary the cells from which his body was born. I want to repeat that. He created the very cells in the womb of Mary for that body. It was not enough for the Holy Spirit simply to give life to a human ovum or an egg supplied by Mary. That would have been sinful mankind producing a body, because the egg would have been sinful. And the egg would have contributed a portion of the nature. That would not have produced the last Adam. Of him it was said, "Lo, a body hast thou, Father, prepared for me." God, not Mary, provided that body. Mary was the human incubator, and she carried the Holy Child and brought him to a birth. It was a God-man. He was the Son of God. He was of the new creation. Man and God met and joined, and he was the first of this new race. He's the head of this new race. In the same way, because we know the natural types of spiritual, in the same way, the church has no life of its own. And a church is typed as a woman, right? But she's an incubator. She's a carrier of life. And births take place, where the church is, because the church is supposed to create the atmosphere. But the church, the life is of God. It's completely of God. So listen, friends, he starts off by telling us that in this age, he's the beginning of the new creation. And he wants us to know that. And it's important that we know that. Well, look, I know it's late. I know it's Sunday night and you had camp all week, but just give me a few more minutes, okay? And yes, we want to go, but we're not part of that youth group anymore. So we'll wait for that eternal youth meeting. And we'll send the rest to you. And you'll have some testimonies. I'm so glad you got to go. First one of many. Hallelujah. So he tells us that he is the beginning of the new creation. He's telling us that in Revelation chapter. That's part of the message to this last church age. He's not telling anybody else that. He's telling you. So if he's telling you that, you need to know it. Why do you need to know it? Because he's going to then tell you, oh, by the way, there's more to this new creation. I'm just the beginning of it. He goes on to talk about the lukewarmness of the age that you couldn't help being born in. And he tells us, zealously repent. And then buy of me gold tried in the fire. And be clothed with this garment that he's going to provide you. And then he finishes it off by talking to the overcomers of this age. And he declares that there will be overcomers in the Laodicean church age that are not judged and condemned along with Laodicea. It is granted to her that she would sit with him in his throne. So the overcomer has to come into a relationship with God that reveals him to her that you are of the new creation. She needs to see that. She needs to know that. And he wants to reveal it to you. I get it why people choke when they're listening to me with their human mind and hear that. And why they choke on it. And some look at you with a brother superior attitude and think that you're just so ignorant. Right? But I'm just telling you what he wants to tell you. And when he tells you that, then you'll say the same thing I'm saying. Amen. So it is granted that she sits with him in his throne. She comes into a relationship with him. He reveals to her who she is and that she's of that new creation. Because there's no way, friends, and this is the part where we're in violent agreement with the human mind that says, oh, this is just hogwash. Nobody can do this. I violently agree with you. Violently. There's no way that the old creation can overcome in this hour. No one has ever been able to do it. That's why John wept. No one was found worthy. Nobody could do it of the old creation. But then one was found of the new creation. Notice, he's the creator of his own bride. He's the creator of his own church. She came out of him. The word has been spoken in the Old Testament and in the New Testament concerning her, but she did not yet exist in flesh. Just as it was spoken of him, and he didn't exist in flesh yet. Listen close now. God said that he would have a bride body and that he would inhabit this body and that this body would be without spot or wrinkle. He wasn't talking about these atomic ashes. He wasn't talking about this stuff that's going to fall off one day. That this isn't his tabernacle. His tabernacle is someplace else. Amen. Within you. But look at what the church ages has produced. An ill-famed woman, not a bride for a bridegroom, not a worthy bride for a bridegroom. So God had to speak his bride body into existence. He sent a message to call her forth and to quicken her to life. This word that was brought in this age, it did not place that seed down on the inside of you. You came to this world with that. You had a hidden treasure buried within this corrupt flesh. So you came to this earth with that seed in you. And we don't know who does and who doesn't. But that seed was already in you. And that seed that's in you is the spoken word of God. But you were birthed, quickened, by hearing the word of this hour. The life that was in that word quickened you, brought you to life. So this word is a living word, and it brought you forth as part of the new creation. It woke up something that's down on the inside of you. And you became part of the new creation. So notice, the entire Old Testament spoke of the coming forth of that seed that would eventually bruise the head of the serpent. And we saw the portions that would make up that body and type as they were lived out in the prophets, different aspects of Christ that were lived out in the prophets. But one day, that body came forth as part of the new creation. And he said, a body hast thou prepared for me. And now we have a New Testament that speaks of a bride that is also shown in part throughout the ages. But she also comes forth by the spoken word. And he has created his bride as a part of the new creation. The heavenly bridegroom created his own bride. So how could she not be everything that he wants her to be? He made you that. He made you to be a priest or a king. He granted to you that you would be arrayed in white linen, pure and white. So he has created his bride as part of his new creation. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Build my church. Build my bride. His bride is his church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The heavenly bridegroom created his own bride. And he, friends, he's the creator. There's nothing that was created that wasn't created by him or for him, as we read in the book of Colossians. He created everything. Can he create his bride? Why does that sound strange? If he doesn't create her, she doesn't exist. But to find the building materials to make her, he reached from within himself. Because he wasn't going to bring her out of the old creation. She's flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, word of his word. So no doubt he looked out at the organizations, didn't find a bride. So he created one. He said he would have one. Christ is a mystery of God revealed. The bride is a mystery of Christ revealed. We marvel about squirrels being spoken from nothing. But what about God using a prophet's lips to speak a word bride that would come into manifestation? You saw, well, he didn't do that. It's all by the spoken word. And it all came out of the mouth of the prophets. It's God's word. But it had to be spoken. Brother Greg, you've been spoken. There's a word that's been spoken concerning you. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. So you existed in the mind of God, but you were lost and undone in this world. So he spoke life into you to bring you forth in a new creation. We must be born of this word. Organizations bring forth organizational members. But the word brings forth the word. Every species will bring forth after its own kind. Well, what is he? He's the word. So what will she be? The word. So the word brings forth the word. The old creation can only bring forth after its kind. So the new creation can only bring forth after its kind. So God brings forth after his own kind by the spoken word. Are you still with me? Remember, friends, if there hadn't been a fall, you would have come forth by the spoken word. And you don't struggle with that a bit. So why struggle with it tonight? If you would have come by the spoken word, you will come by the spoken word. So we can only overcome this world and the corruption that's in it through lust by being of the new creation. Because this old creation cannot overcome the old creation. church members of the old creation will never understand what it means when we say that we are the sinless bride body of Jesus Christ. We are not saying that this flesh doesn't stink. We've been through this, okay? Don't make me dig them up again. I don't want any of those memories. If you are born of the eternal word, then you have a word image. Oh, it's rich. It's beautiful. You have a word image. And that word image will reflect the word in this dimension. It will not return a dim void. But will project in this dimension what it is. You look like the word. You act like the word. You judge like the word. You behave like the word. You know, it's like the old saying, well, if it looks like a skunk, smells like one, acts like one, eats like one, well, guess it's a skunk. Nobody questions that. Well, if you look like the word, act like the word, talk like the word, live like the word, must be the word. You're not the fullness of it, you're a portion. But every portion of it is eternal. Our Father is Jehovah God. And we are of another creation. Listen to this from Laodicean Church Ages. He quotes 1 Colossians 1:18. He's the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead. That in all things he might have the preeminence. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There you can see that though man was of the old order of creation, now in union with Christ, he has become the new creation of God. Ephesians 2:10, he said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. The life that's in him flows through you. For we are his workmanship. That means he made you. Created, Brother Henry, created in union with Christ Jesus unto good works. You were created unto good works. Ephesians 4:24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness. It's a new creation. Is created in righteousness and in true holiness. This new creation is not the old creation made over, or it could not be called a new creation. This is exactly what he said it is, new creation. It is another creation distinct from the old one. That's why we need to distance ourselves. You're not in denial. You're just not part of that anymore. It is another creation, distinct from the old one. No longer is he dealing with by the ways of the flesh. So why are we doing that? That was how he dealt with Israel. He dealt with Israel by the flesh. Gave them a book of laws. Do this, don't do that. Keep this flesh in line. It didn't change the flesh. Didn't change the nature of the flesh. That's how he dealt with Israel. He chose Abraham, and of Abraham's issue through the godly Isaac line, but now out of every kindred, tribe, and nation, he has purposed a new creation. He is the first of that creation. He was God created in the form of man. Now, by his Spirit, he's creating many sons unto himself. God the Creator creating himself a part of his creation. Glory to God. This is the true revelation of God. This was his purpose. This purpose took form through election. That is why he could look right down to the last age when all would be over and see himself still in the midst of the church. Amen. As author of this new creation of God, his sovereign power brought it to pass. By his own decree, he elected the members of his new creation, said they will be there, just as he said, Abraham, you are my son, and you shall be the father of many nations. by his omniscience, or all-knowing, and by his omnipotence. He's omnipotent in the sense that he can be everywhere by his thinking. He brought it to pass. How else could he know that he would be standing in the midst of the church receiving glory from his brethren if he did not make sure? Well, when did he make sure? Before you got here. In fact, before there was a fall. In fact, let's go back a little further. Before the foundation of the world. Before there was a world. The Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. In his thinking. He's not a gambler. He made it sure. All things he knew and all things he worked out according to what he knew in order that his purpose and his good pleasure be brought to pass. And the church says, yeah. Ephesians 2:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance in him, being predestinated, God set your destiny according to the purpose of him, not you. Why do we want to take, you know, why do we want to bring it back on works? Well, I earned this somehow. You earned what? This is a gift. You want to earn some, the wages of sin is death. You got to work your way to hell, but this is a gift. He didn't even ask you if you wanted to be saved. But if you think about it, if you came from him, how could you not want to be? In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of your will. His will. Why do we make human will so powerful? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that you belong to him? So he created, we'll pull over here in just a minute, he created in Virgin Mary the cells for his own bridegroom body. God, not Mary, provided that body. He was of the new creation, the first of the new race, the head of the new race. But now he creates a bride body for himself. And he takes sinners and makes them virgins to the word. And then overshadows that seed that's placed in the believer by God when you came to this earth, and he quickens that seed in the individuals that make up that body. He quickens that seed to life. In the message, or in pick up your pen and write, recall this is when the Holy Spirit put it on Brother Branham's pen to write to the church, to write things to, actually to write it to you. Prophesying of you. It speaks of you. In the Pergamian church age, from a little group of the true seed of the word, God will present Christ with a beloved bride. She is a virgin of his word. Now, the only way you can be a virgin of his word is to be born again. Because none of us were virgins when we came to the... We were married to an evil taskmaster, to that old nature, that fallen nature. She is a virgin of his word. She is a virgin because she knows no man-made creeds or dogmas. By and through the members of the bride will be fulfilled all that was promised of God to be made manifest in the virgin. He's going to do it. Just as he did it in the Virgin Mary, he's going to do it in the virgin bride. The members of the virgin bride will love him. Are you sure?
Yes.
Who was it tonight? Oh, I just love him so much. Are you sure? She's quiet. She didn't want to get up here and speak, but she said tonight, I love him. That's thus saith the Lord. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. The members.
believers of the Virgin Bride will love him. And they will have his potentials. For he is their head. And all power belongs to him. They are subject to him, to the word, as the members of our bodies are subject to our heads. My body doesn't get to run off and do its own thing. My head will look down and say, wait a minute. You know, there are times that my body tries to, my body has a memory. You hear a muscle memory, right? Sometimes muscle memory is good. You know, like you shoot a bow so many times that when it's time for you to shoot the game that you're after, you're not even thinking about it. It's just muscle memory, right? You just do it and you're like, oh, wow, did I do that? Another example of muscle memory is when you are driving at night and you went through 13 traffic lights and then you wonder, were those lights green or red? They were green, but you were doing it by reflex, right? It was just kind of programmed into you. So there's that, but there's some muscle memory that we'd like to get rid of, right? Like when you're in the supermarket and you hear some rocks music song that you heard when you were growing up, and you know they put it to some elevator music tune now, and violins are playing instead of a hard guitar, and you look down, you're looking at the lettuce and you're checking out the tomatoes and you're counting the carbs, and you look down, your foot's going like this, and you look down, you say, knock it off, because your foot is subject to your head. Now, don't pretend that you don't know what I'm talking about. I hate that when that happens. And it's happening less and less. Because when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, now I'm dancing like David danced. He is their head, and all powers belongs to him. They are subject to him as the members of our body are subject to our heads. My body doesn't have a choice. It must follow my head. Right? Well, in the same way, we're subject to Christ. We just are. It's not that we're trying to be. We just are. And we're happy about it. How could I do otherwise? I'm part of him. He's the head of the body. Those in the bride do only his will. His will is his word. No one can make them do otherwise. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. In other words, they're led of the Spirit of God. They're led by the word. They know that it has to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling his own word. He did not complete all his work while in his earthly ministry. So now he works in and through the bride body, which he's the head of. Paul preached all this. It's not anything strange or new. She knows that, for it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must do now. But he will now fulfill through the bride that work which he left for this specific time. And you're privileged to be on the earth and have God work through you. Oh, wonderful, friends. It's wonderful. When Jesus died, he gathered in himself all of the old creation concerning you. He took all of your sin, all of your wayward ways, your old fallen nature, and he took it with himself to Calvary, crucified it in the flesh, then took it down to hell and placed it on the head of the devil. So in his eyes, your old creation is judged. And there's something called, what is that, double jeopardy? Right? It's a law term. Let's say I go to court and I'm tried for a crime and I'm found guilty. Well, you can never take me back to court and try me again for the same crime, because that would be double jeopardy. Right. What if I go to court and I'm tried for a crime and I'm found innocent, and later on you find out I'm guilty? Can you try me again? No. That would be double jeopardy, right? Well, our old man has been judged and found guilty, right? And has died with Christ. So why do you want to try me twice for the same crime? Why do you want to look at the old shell and the reflections of the old creation and demand that I focus on that and pay a price that's already been paid? It's because you haven't accepted what he's done in your life. He took that and nailed it to a tree, friends. So in his eyes, your old creation is judged. Your old creation is already separated from you. Your old creation is finished.
Thank you, Lord.
That in all things he might have the preeminence.
Amen.
He's not looking at your old creation. He's looking at his own blood.
Amen.
So my confession today, friends, is I'm of the new creation.
Amen.
Is there anybody else that wants to confess that?
Amen.
I am no longer looking at this old creation. I'm not ignoring it from the sense that I'm going to let it just run ragged or whatever. No, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to die daily. I'm going to keep it under me. I'm going to keep myself under myself daily. And I'm going to have to say I'm sorry a few more times. And I truly am. But I don't want to focus on that part. I don't want to know you after the flesh. I don't want you to know me after the flesh. I want us to know one another after the new creation. After the Spirit, after the Word, that eternal part. So I'm no longer looking at, identifying with, or dwelling on the old creation. And as your attention fades on the old creation, you'll begin to see yourself in the way that God sees you. And then it's just a matter of time before you start acting like who you really are.
Amen.
No, I'm not in denial. Neither am I letting my flesh have free rein. I am just lining up my confession with my high priest's confession.
Amen.
I am of the new creation.
Amen.
The old creation will completely pass away, but not me.
Amen.
Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. Now, if he created you unto good works, how could you not bring forth good works? It's not something you try to do. It's something you're created to do. That's why the new birth is so important. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, if he ordained it, who are we to stop him? Listen, friends, I have been ordained to walk in his ways.
Amen.
I have been created in him. I have been created by him.
Yes.
I have been created for him.
Amen.
He is of the new creation. I'm of the new creation.
Amen.
I've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The law of his word is now written in my nature. So I don't need a law book. It's in my nature. I don't have to try to be of the new creation because I am of the new creation. I don't have to try to have a new nature because I have a new nature. I don't have to read a manual to tell me how to act because I have the actor living in me. You take a blanket native, friends, and let the genuine Holy Ghost come upon them and change them. They'll cover up without you having to say one word. Because the Spirit will convict them just as it does you and I. You don't have to whip the bride to live the nature of Christ. God's not holding her heels over hell. He's not scaring her into a rapture. I wouldn't want to be married to somebody like that, would you? This is a love affair. Well, Brother Baker, then why all the preaching and how to live? Well, here's the reason. It's to show those that are still of the old nature what the new nature is like, and that they don't try to live the life in the old creation, but to be born again. And this life will be what's brought forth. And that's where every one of us started out at. And probably every one of us tried to live right before we were born again. And we woefully found out, I can't do this. The only way the bride can be of every kindred, tongue, nation, and people is if she's not after the old creation. She has to be of the new creation. The first man patterned after the beast and brought forth sons. So God came and created himself in a new creation, yet in the likeness of man, and then he brought forth many sons and daughters by the spoken word, not by a beastly sexual act. So do you realize, friends, how different we are from those of the old creation? We are born of the Word like we should have been. I've just come full circle. This is how you were supposed to come forth. This is how you are coming forth. Amen. We've died out to that old sin nature and we've said, Lord, just crucify it. And we're born again by the creative Word. So your desire is to serve Him. You do love Him. It's not somebody saying, you better love Him or else. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed. That's why it can't be part of the old nature or the old creation. Because everything in the old creation is corruptible. Being born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. So you were born, you heard the word. And you were quickened by it. Yeah. We hear this over and over. You heard the word of your day. Well, it's not that you just heard some jingle of your day and it was, you know, messages in a certain language. But the word for your day is where the life is. So you heard the living word and it said, come forth. And you said, okay. Thank you. I don't want to live this way. I'm trapped. I hate this pest house. And I hate the man that I am. And I hate that sinful nature. I don't want to be that way. All right, come up. Come up a little higher. Die out to your old self. And I'll quicken that new nature that's down on the inside of you. So the old creation is corruptible, but not the new creation. The part of you that's born again from above is incorruptible. It's undefeatable. And Satan cannot mar it or pollute it or deceive it. You can't be deceived. And you will not deny the word. Because what's in you won't deny it. You're a believer. What do believers do? Only. Isn't that enough? So let Satan do his worst. Jesus has done his best. Who's going to come out on top? A child of God, born of his Spirit, cannot be corrupted. And the church says, you and I were first born of corruptible and dying seed, but you have been born again of an incorruptible seed, the Word of God. Therefore, you are an overcomer. Amen. You just didn't know it yet. You had to be quickened. His Spirit had to come down and dwell in you, energize you, quicken you, but you are an overcomer. And there is now nothing that can stand in your way. You have been born of the seed that liveth and abideth forever. When sin and sickness come to their final end, which they will one day, you'll still be here. Yes. You'll still exist. Right. You know, the devil will not even be a memory one day. But you will. You can't be turned away. Well, do I need some cattle prods here tonight? What do I got to do for you to recognize? Wow. This is what chases out all the boogeymen and the fears and the doubts and the worries and that try to cling to this outer man. The inner man needs to be talked to. And you need to be the one. We're talking to you tonight, but you've got to talk to yourself. You've got to rehearse the word, speak to yourself, hear it, have it come out of your mouth. It needs to be your own confession. You cannot be turned away. You cannot be left behind. Those left behind movies scared the daylights out of me as a Baptist. I didn't want to watch them because I thought, surely I will be left behind. I never get picked for anything. I'm somehow going to mess this up because it's impinging on me and I'm always messing things up. Well, guess what? I can't mess this up. It's not my work, it's His work. I can't be left behind. You can't be left behind. You are incorruptible. You cannot be corrupted. Therefore, you can defeat the enemy anytime, any place, under any circumstance, with the very word that you are a part of. And as it begins to break on you that you came out of that word, so you're a part of that word, you'll realize that there's power in you as being a part of the word, because there's power in the word. And the word will not return unto him void. The word has birthed you. And that's why you can believe in a supernatural cloud and others can't. And you can believe in a rapture and others can't. And you can believe that you're in a rapture and others don't. And that you're being raptured. There's a part of you that's already passed from death into life. You're just waiting for this mortality to take on immortality. That's why you can believe that the seven seals are open. And that's why we don't need to probe around any longer. We don't need to look for answers. We have the answers. The word has been given to us. It's nigh us. It's even in our mouths. And you and I have been birthed by it. You have been brought to life. You have been revived. You have been quickened from the dead. You who were once dead in sins and trespasses, hath He quickened. And this word will purge you. That's why you come to services, friends. I'm going to quit beating on people to come. I'm going to quit doing that, but I care. That's the other part of me. It just drives me crazy to see the cares of this life take preeminence over the hearing of the word. You don't even have to know what the word's doing. It's working mightily in you. You can be brain dead and come to church and the word can begin to transform you from glory to glory. And you don't even know that what's taking place, but the word is doing the work. This is how He's building His church. This is how He's forming her. This is how she's coming forth. It's by His word and only by His word. Hallelujah. This word will purge you. It will wash you. It will separate you from things that you don't like. It'll separate you from the world. It'll separate you from unbelief. It'll separate you from this body. Or not this one, that one. Maybe you want to be separated from this one, but it's that one that you really want to be separated from. You want to lose your gravitation. Hallelujah. You want to really be caught up. I'm going to let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. How's the rest of it go? I'll have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'll get carried away when I get carried away. How many has that testimony here tonight? This word is working mightily in me. This word is working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstances, what I feel or see, the word is working mightily in me. Yes, the word is working mightily in me. The word is working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstances, what I feel or see, the word is working mightily in me. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I'll tell you the best thing that I ever did do. I'll tell you the best thing that I ever did do. I took off the old robe and I put on the new. The old robe was dirty, all tattered and torn. The new robe was spotless, had never been worn. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I took off the old robe and I put on the new. I'll tell you the best thing that I ever did do. I'll tell you the best thing that I ever did do. I'll tell you the best thing that I ever did do. The old robe was dirty, all tattered and torn. The new robe was spotless. I'll tell you the best thing that I ever did do. I took off the old robe and I put on the new. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have